All right. Send greetings to y'all in precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just thank you for your light and your guidance. Help us be faithful to you to do your will. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And extend the greetings to you in the name of the Lord. This morning, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 8. Verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." I want to talk about freedom this morning. Jesus was talking here to the Jewish people. The Pharisees, in fact. And he told them that they will become free. Verse 36, "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Verse 37, I'll read on a little bit. "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father, therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and have come from God, for I have not even come of my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." Okay, I want to stop right there. Jesus came to these people, the Pharisees. These people, for all practical purposes, guarded themselves against sin. They would live lives that all of those around them would see that were holy lives. And yet Jesus talked to them about being free. About being free from sin. About freedom. About being free. Whenever we think of freedom, what do we think of? Most people in America, when they think free or freedom, they think they can just do whatever they want to do. They're just free to live their lives completely for themselves. In much of Protestantism, that's what's thought of, is just being able to live however they want to live. Just to be free. Just free as a butterfly. Just flutter around here, from here, there, wherever I want to go. And then we have these people here who he's talking to. They knew that they wouldn't be just free to do whatever they want. Maybe that's what they thought. But they still didn't understand what Jesus talked about or what he was trying to explain to them, being free. It's such a blessing that people here in this country, I mean, we know what freedom is. To be able to do whatever we want, basically. Just a few restrictions somebody might put upon us, but basically we're free to do whatever we want to do. But is that freedom? Freedom, before it will work, has to have responsibility. Freedom, the only way that it works is whenever it's coupled with responsibility. Jesus said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way." Whenever we think of that, one of the first thoughts that we have is of straight and narrow is strict. Living a strict, very strict life. Straight and narrow. We have been set free. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, the people who had the strictest standards of living in the world. And he was telling them that they could be set free. He was even telling them they were living in sin, that they were bondage to sin. And yet they lived the strictest lives that they could. The straight and narrow way. We think that being a Christian is living this set of rules. But Jesus has set us free. We are free to make the choices that we want to make. Whenever we were talking this morning, it was brought up about David and Goliath. Or David and Saul. And Saul's, we were just talking about that this week. A lot of times when we see David and Saul, the first thing we want to do is to pit them together against each other. And we, in our minds, think David is right. And we hope he defeats Saul. But do you know that the men that were fighting on Saul's army and were defending him were right? That's why whenever the man, what was his name, that came back? Abner. He brought Saul's army back to David. David took him right in and said, "This is a good man." And the man that killed him, he criticized him because he had killed a good man who had been faithful to his king. David tried to be faithful to his king and was driven out being faithful to his king. That's a straight and narrow road. It's not a strict seeing how holy I can. It's faithfulness to your king, even when your king turns against you. And you still be faithful to him. That's faithfulness. And that's what Christ is looking for. Those men that were true to Saul, that were actually fighting against David, were doing what they were supposed to do. That put David in a terrible fix. He had to run away from the men who were being faithful, doing what they were supposed to be doing, and still be faithful to the king himself. That's a straight road. That's what it is to be straight and narrow. Is to be faithful when people might turn against you, doing what's right, and still have to walk that straight and narrow path. Whenever we become free, I remember in my life being in bondage. I was free as a bird to do whatever I want, but I was still in bondage to this world, to sin, to myself. Jesus set us free. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to set us free. Satan controls us. In one of the verses, in it says of Jesus said that this world has nothing in me. They have nothing in me. They have no hold on me. They have no tie to me. Because he was free. It wasn't living a strict set of rules. He was free. And he was making choices to serve God. Choices. Whenever we're free, there's a great responsibility that comes with our freedom. It's not an easy road. It's a straight and narrow road. But it's one that comes with choices that you and I make every day. It can't be fenced in and still be free. That's what we're trying to do as a church here, is to be a group of people that have chosen to follow Jesus and are free to do so. One time I remember talking with some of the Mennonites, and they would tell this about their young people. "We love them, but we don't trust them. That's why we put so many regulations on them." You know what? That's what they're even saying about themselves. That they couldn't trust themselves. Because freedom is hard. Freedom is having to make choices all by yourself. Freedom is difficult. That's why the whole world loves to have someone take care of them. They give their freedom for security. They give away their freedoms because freedom means that I've got to make decisions all by myself. It's a lot easier to let the government take care of my responsibilities. There's so many ways that this world just parallels the spiritual life. This country, how it was established, that men were free, but it came with responsibility. They knew that when they established this country, that the only way this country would work is when good men would take the responsibility for themselves, for their freedom. And right away, there was people who didn't want that responsibility. And that they were willing to sell their own freedom for someone else to take care of them. And that is so easy to happen in our spiritual life. Why wouldn't it be easier that Jesus paid for the price and I'll just believe that He did that and then I can just do whatever I want? I can just go on spiritual welfare. It doesn't have nothing to do with me. Jesus paid all the price, and I'll just go on spiritual welfare. The very Christianity, the Protestants that hate the irresponsibility of people being on welfare and they ought to work, do the same thing in their spiritual lives with Jesus. It takes responsibility to have faith, to walk and to live this life. It's a straight and narrow path. Freedom. Freedom to make our own choices and to be responsible for them. That idea, okay, we love our young people, but we don't trust them. And that's why we put rules on them, put regulations on them. If we can't govern ourselves, okay, if your young people need governed, they do. But whenever they start following the Lord, they need to know that just living within the rules that you set up isn't faith at all. We need to learn that if they're going to follow the Lord, when they make a decision to follow the Lord, they're responsible for their own actions. And if they still need governed, then they really don't have faith to follow the Lord. I know there's some room to grow and work with them on this, but they need to learn to be taking care of their responsibilities themselves. The choices that they make whenever no one else is around has to be theirs, not living up to a set of rules. We've got to learn to hear from God ourselves. To listen, to do. That's what being free is all about. It's work. It's hard. to make our own decisions. It's so easy to let somebody else make a set of rules and I'll just live by those rules and live within those. That is the lazy. That is the welfare type of Christianity that takes no faith. People talk about faith like it's some just blanket of coverall. Faith is the hardest work you'll ever do. Faith is like Jesus giving the parables and then going away to a far country and said, I'll be back, take care of this. And then you having to take care of those things, knowing what He wants without Him being here. He's gone away. And you being faithful to that. Talked to a man last night for a while, and he brought up an interesting observation. You know, free people well, his observation was there's people that trust people to righteousness, and there's people that trust. There's people that trust that you're going to do the right thing. And then there's people that trust that you're going to sin. If I trust that you're going to sin, I've got to make all kinds of precautions to keep you from doing it, to keep you from making a choice that way. But if I trust that you're going to be a righteous man, I'm going to trust that you're going to make right decisions. That's what the church is about. But whenever I'm so suspicious and so fearful that you're going to make a wrong decision, it's probably because I know myself. That I really don't have the faith and the confidence that I would make that right decision myself. And so I've got to put that on you. Project what's in me on you. But when the church is walking in the light, my projection is, you're going to do the right thing. Because that's what I want to do. People that are so afraid of sin know themselves that they haven't been set free. And they can't trust anybody else to be set free. But when we've been set free, our hope is that others have been set free. And they'll make those right choices too. Jesus didn't call us to become the most skeptical critics in the world, that nobody can do this. He called us to have hope, to higher things, not dabble around in all the low things, the lowest denominator, the lowest place we could be, the lowest place we'll fall if we have to make a choice for ourselves. He's trying to lift us up to high things, to high callings. Not by a bunch of rules and regulations, but by a personal choice, a freedom to take responsibility for yourself. Jesus talked about, last week's message wasn't recorded very well, but we talked about a word called supererogation. And that's trying to trying to go up and above and beyond what's expected, trying to impress, trying to live a life that will impress. In John, Jesus talked about people who, instead of coming in the straight and narrow gate, they try to climb up some other way. They're thieves and robbers. We talked about examples of people who, instead of just doing what they're told, they go try to do something extra to impress. And here is where we can learn something ourselves and instruct our children. I want to encourage you with your children. Parents, I want to encourage you with your children. Give them chores. Don't have to be, if you don't have a lot, it don't have to be a lot. But give them something to do every day that is their responsibility to take care of. Their responsibility to take care of. Without you having to tell them to do it every day. You make it clear to them, this is your chore, this is your responsibility, and if it don't get done, you will be held accountable for it. Something every day that there's no questions asked, no orders given, it's your job to do. You are responsible for that. If you do a shoddy job, you're accountable for it. If you don't do it, you're accountable for it. On top of instructions that you're given every day of what to do. If your children can't learn the basic chores and can't follow the instructions that they give, you're training them so that whenever God gives them responsibilities, they'll take care of them too. That's what Jesus talks about. If you can't do the little things, and you think those chores don't mean anything, you think those chores, God is looking, children. Can He trust you in those least little things? You say, oh, this is nothing. I've got to gather the eggs, or I've got to take care of the chickens, or I've got to make sure the yard's mowed once a week even, or I've got to take out the trash. If you can't even do that, you think, oh, this is silly, me having to do all of this. But if you can't even take care of that, God won't give you one thing else. He's done with you. He's done with you. Until you learn how to do those little things. But you know what? That's all He wants. And if you'll just take care of those little things, God will be happy with you. Just like your parents will. Just like your parents will. If they give you a little simple chore like that, and you go off and do something else, but you neglect the one little chore that you were given, it don't matter what you do other than that. God is not impressed. In fact, He'll probably call you a slacker and an unfaithful servant. All He wants is what He wants you to do. He wants you to be a free man and a free woman to live out the life of a free man and a free woman, bringing glory to Him. Living out how He wants you to treat your neighbor, to love your neighbor. And sometimes they may even be against you while you're trying to do good. Well, that's learning to be like Him. That's the hard part. You try to do good, just like David tried to do good. He tried to be so faithful to Saul. He went out and he won wars for Saul. And the people started saying, Saul's killed his thousands. David's killed his 10,000s. And you know what happened? Oh, David did this to please Saul. Just doing what he was supposed to be doing. And Saul got mad at him. And David had to run. So that instead of being able to fight the Philistines, now Saul turned to fight against his own servant that was so faithful to him. You know what the Philistines were doing at that time? They were building their armies, making themselves stronger because the battle was diverted. But yet, that's where the battle is in eternity. On that straight and narrow little road. Straight is the gate. It's not how strict I can live and never even just... It's living this life. It's just walking in this life. Just trying to do the best you can. Just trying to be faithful in the little things that God has placed in front of you. And it's amazing how much opposition you'll find. And it's amazing from where that opposition will come. But that's what it means to be on the straight and narrow way. It's not the strict and high and holy way. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They were trying to portray this strict and religious holy life. And Jesus was saying, why don't you just be free? And do what's right. Instead of creating a big fence to keep yourself in. A faithless fence to keep yourself in. And just be what I've wanted you to do. Yeah, you may fail. Yeah, it may be risky. Yeah, it may be scary. That's the narrow path. It's the path of freedom. Jesus came that we might be free indeed. That's the most fearful thing, is to have to stand on your own two feet and be a man. For some reason, that is one of the most fearful things in this world. And while it's lauded, it's hated. Because anybody that tries to do it, when everybody says that's a good thing, but when anybody tries to do it, this world will hate it. But God is there. That's where He's at. That's where He's at. That's when, although all the world be against you, He'll be for you. It may look like it's raining and cloudy, and why is God letting this happen to me? It may look like Saul, David being faithful to Saul, and then Saul trying to kill him. It may appear that way. We're going to be judged on our faithfulness. And that's true holiness. That's where holiness is. It's not... Jesus was talking to the Pharisees who had worked out their own holiness. And these were the people that were trying to kill Him. His own people. He came to help them. He healed them. He opened the blind eyes. He set them free. And they killed Him. And here He said, why do you seek to kill me? One who's done nothing but offered you a way, a clear way to walk. Freedom. And you seek to kill me. Sometimes it gets so confusing. But the reason it becomes confusing is just because we don't want to do it. The way looks dark and cloudy. But we believe that God is good. We believe that God is kind and merciful. We believe that He loves us. And I believe that. No matter what it looks like. We believe that He set us free. Set us free to be able to face these battles. Not just breeze through them, but to stand up and face them. That's where His strength is. I just, again, look back at my life, and I just am so thankful of so many things that He set me free from. He didn't take it all away. But He broke the power to so many things that I was absolutely powerless over. Not so that I could just become so holy that I could just look down at everybody that didn't know the mercy that I had found. That's what we forget. It was His mercy that brought that to us. Nothing that I did. He gave me the choice to be free. He gave me the opportunity to be free. And we look like we've accomplished something because we just accepted that. That's what the gift is. a gift that comes with a great responsibility. We take the gift and that's a gift. It don't mean nothing. Or we take a gift and think, boy, I really deserve that. And anybody else that don't take it, I'm going to hate. The gift is freedom. And the people that haven't gotten it yet, you're not one bit better than they are. Just because you took it, you're not one bit better than they are. God is merciful. Don't ever forget that. That's why He leaves us in a battle. So that we don't forget that. Whenever we begin to make ourselves so holy that we don't have a battle anymore, that's when we start looking down our nose at everybody else. He left us in this battle to have to fight out the things that are still left in me to battle with. That was the thorn in the flesh. I believe Paul had something that really, what could scare Paul? Except some weakness towards God that was still left in his life to humble him. It didn't matter if they beat him. That wasn't a thorn in his flesh. It wouldn't matter that there was somebody mocking him. It wouldn't matter whatever they did to him. The only thing that would bother Paul is his weakness to God. That thorn was in his flesh. There was a weakness, I believe, that he had to deal with every day that kept him humble. And what else would there be that would humble him? Some man picking on him? He had to make those decisions to be free every day. He didn't have it all figured out. I think that's why the Judaizers were so condemned in the Bible, were so criticized, so warned against in the Bible, to try to bring them back into that freedom of religion. Bring them back into the bondage of not being free. This is a war we're in every day. And you can build up a little isolation, you can build a little igloo around yourself and protect yourself from all of that. But you're not free. You know, people get their houses and they put bars on the wall and they put a big wall around it. And they put electrical security alarms all around it. And they lock their doors. Well, depending on who you would ask, sometimes that might look like a prison. Who's the prisoner? The guy walking down the street. He don't have a big wall around himself. He don't have no locks holding him in. And he don't want them. Christ came to set us free. We need to guard ourselves from things that would entangle us, whether sin or religion. Because they're both bondage and they're both the same thing as far as God's concerned. You got one option. You can be free or you can be a slave. One option. Or two, I guess. A sign in Monette says life has two choices. Or life has many choices. Eternity has two. Well, that's all wrong. Life has two choices. And it carries on into eternity. You can choose to be free, or you can choose to be a slave. You can choose to be a slave to sin. You can choose to be a slave to your own desire for ease and freedom. You can call it religion, but it's still slavery. Or you can be a man, or you can be a woman, and take the responsibilities for yourself. That the home of the free, that's what the church is. The home of the free. I don't know how the song goes. The land of the free and the home of the brave. That's what the church is. It's a noble idea in the world. But how few people really embrace it. And it's even a nobler idea in the church, in the world, in the men, in the spiritual life, in following Jesus. He came to set us free. Will we live up to the responsibility? Anyone else have anything you'd like to add or share? Questions? Father, again we come before you and we just thank you for your goodness. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be faithful. Lord, when all around us doubts and fears, coldness, whatever it may be, Lord, help us just be faithful. To keep pressing on in that straight and narrow way. Lord, again, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Help us be faithful in Jesus' name. All right. I guess be back here tonight for supper at 6 o'clock. Any announcements?
Oh, just back to, for an assignment to the boys, that just what you were saying there, to speak to them, just continue to give us a little report. Be good, I think.
Okay.
Faithfulness of a chore.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's just it's your responsibility, parents, that they learn how to do this themselves. If they don't do it, it don't do any good for you to get all upset. Start right where you're at. Not where you fail. Start right where you're at and say, okay, this is what's going to happen. Fix it. Instead of worrying about it. But it's your responsibility to see that it's carried out. It's their responsibility to do it. And if they don't do it, it's your responsibility still to make sure they did it. You take your responsibilities. I've said before, child training is easy. Parent training is what's difficult. It's your job to be the parent. That's your responsibility. That's one of the things I noticed most of all, people coming from churches where the church made all the decisions, how little the fathers were fathers. And that how much the father had to learn to be the father of his own home, coming from a situation like that. And how much they realized that the church was the one training their children and not themselves up to that point. And it's easy to fall into that, just to let the peer pressure in the church make those decisions. It's your responsibility. You're free to have that responsibility. All right. Well, Lord bless you.
Teach me the measure. Say.